Well, I know if I tell you that I had something else on my mind and it's changed, you've probably heard that before. It is a little bit of a disclaimer. So if it doesn't go well, blame Brother Chris. So I'll just leave it. I'll say all of the Chris's. How about that? If you would, we're going to continue there in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. We are very, very thankful for verses 4 through 7. Verses 4 through 7 give us a great deal of comfort. I don't know about you, but even when I do something sometime, I'm not sure that I really did it. Have you ever laid down at night and then the thought comes through your head, did I lock the front door? Now, you might be different than I am. If that comes into my head, I'm not going to sleep. I might as well quit trying and get up and go check the front door. Many people are taught that they have to accept and believe what God has done for them to make it effectual. Well, I believed I locked that front door, but I don't have 100% confidence in it. Because I don't have 100% confidence in anything that I do. But when I read verses 4 through 7, I am given the great relief that I am not the subject, but I am the object of what God is doing. And I do have 100% confidence in the work of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that you do not find any of my works in verses 4 through 7. But it is all the work of Christ. It's all the work of the Godhead. Have you ever heard somebody say, and Brother Sam, don't say no too quick. Have you ever heard somebody say, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it? You ever heard that before? Thank you, brother. Well, we understand that it's not our belief that makes anything that God does effective. But I want you to think in another way for a few minutes with me this afternoon. While my belief doesn't settle it in the mind of God, it does make that calling and election sure for me. It doesn't settle it, but it sure makes it to where I can enjoy it. If you have $1 million for me, please tell me. Don't leave me in suspense. Tell me about it so I can start enjoying it. Because I'm calling Turkey Creek Middle School and saying, you're not going to see me Monday morning. To be honest, if it's $500,000, I'm still probably pretty good. So I don't want anybody to feel like they're not reaching the goal. But what comes after verse 7 in the book of Ephesians chapter 1? I want to look at that for a few minutes this afternoon. I wasn't able to be here this morning. I really wanted to, but I did hear at the conclusion that Brother Sam said that it was required in our ordination that we know how to tell time. So we're going to try to be mindful of that. I love your big giant clock in the back here. And that's not sarcasm. That's sincerity. I can read that. So I appreciate it. So let's go to verse 8. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. If we believe that the work of salvation is entirely the work of God, it would have been possible for God to save us, and we don't know it until we get to heaven. We might not, I understand, I heard somebody talk about the hollow log. I do believe that there's a change, but we might not have the knowledge, right? We might not have the knowledge. But the Lord chose not just to do this, but he chose to tell us about it. That's important then. That's important. He says, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. At least one of the reasons he chose to tell us was so that we can praise him for it. That is a purpose that we have, is to give him praise. That is why we are assembled here today, is to praise the Lord. Not just in the pulpit, but in the pew. It is your opportunity when we are singing to sing praises to the Lord, and not out of routine and not out of habit, but let those words speak to you so that you might see him more clearly. And see, the more clearly we see him, the better we're able to praise him. He goes on, he says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. So Ephesians 4 through 7 is the before, and now this is the after. There is something that happens after. I'm a primitive Baptist, but I believe that belief is important. This is something that happens after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In the days of history, when a king would write a law, think about in the days of Esther. Do you remember he gave his ring to put on that law? What they would do is they would drip the wax and they would take the ring and they would impress it there, and that was sealing it. What does that mean? It is saying, this is my word. The way I look at that idea of being sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise is that Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Amen. Is that worth it? Oh, I think it is. I think it is. To have that answer of a good conscience, to have that feeling that I'm his, that this is not just a good story, but it's my story. Amen. That I'm in verses 4 through 7. He goes on, he says, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. We get to live on our heavenly blessings right now. You need to understand, eternal life is not just a quantity, it's a quality. Amen. And I believe we get to enjoy some of that quality. Let me ask you a question. What is it that makes heaven, heaven? Is it golden streets? Is it pearly gates? Is it mansions? Is that what you're looking forward to? What makes heaven, heaven is that is where Jesus is at. I'm not going to turn to it, but if you go and read John 14, 15, and 16, he talks about the Spirit coming and manifesting God's presence in our lives. We are called the temple of God. You know why? Because we are where God manifests his presence in this world today. We don't pray toward Jerusalem because that is no longer where he is manifesting his presence. It is within his children. He says, it is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. It is something that is worth working for. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. He's talking to people that are in a church. That gives us a clue of who they're talking to begin with. He says that you've heard the gospel, you've received the gospel, and you stand in the gospel. But then notice what it says next. By which also ye are saved, if. If you keep in memory. My question is, what happens if you don't keep it in memory? That sounds to me like there's a salvation you miss out on. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think that is. Have you read the rest of 1 Corinthians chapter 15? The Apostle Paul is defending the resurrection. He is telling them that people are coming in and saying the resurrection is past. And he says, you need to remember what I taught you. Stirring up your pure mind of remembrance. You need to remember the things that I've taught you. I'm going to give you the Cliff Note versions because I'm watching that clock. Because if you don't keep it in memory, you know what you are? You are of all men most miserable. If you do not remember that, you lose the joy of that. Who do you want to be? Do you want to be the eunuch or you want to be the rich young ruler? The rich young ruler went away grieving, right? He went away sad. The Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Because he trusted in Christ. He believed. You know I'm not telling you that he was born again with that. But he got a good answer. He was rejoicing. I prefer rejoicing. Go in the book of 2 Peter. I heard some of this last night. In 2 Peter, and we're going to jump to the end. I'm not going to go through all the things that you're supposed to add. But notice what it says in verse 8. 2 Peter is written because he knew he was about to die. And he was giving these things to the church so that they might be able to continue. That they might be able to remember and they might be able to be faithful in the future. Look what it says here in verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will bear fruit. But look at verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, I don't know what it means to be blind and not to be able to see afar off. It doesn't sound good, though. I don't know if it means you're nearsighted and farsighted or something of that sort, but it doesn't sound like it's a positive thing. I want you to notice the last phrase. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He didn't remember. He didn't keep it in memory. But what I want you to notice, it does not say that he was no longer purged from his old sins. He hasn't lost it. He's just forgotten it. I want to show you another thing it does not say. It does not say that he was never purged from his old sins. So the idea of a false confessor doesn't fit. It just means you've lost it. I think we can also see a parallel in the book of Galatians when he talks about falling from grace. Keep reading. Verse 10, I love this. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. That means it's going to take work. Some people say, well, I believe in salvation by grace. All you have to do is believe. And the concept is that belief is not a work. I want to tell you what I'm convinced of. Belief is the hardest work.
Right.
Belief is the hardest work.
Amen.
I mean, you don't have to be religious to know that you're going to have to pay the taxes to the government, right? So you can be trained, you can be taught by the precepts of men to give 10%, right? Those things can be taught to you, and you can keep them for appearance's sake, but belief has to do with those battles that are within. It's a work that takes what? It takes diligence. Because you need to understand, the world is going to tell you every day that you're a fool. The world is going to try and show you every day that you are a fantasist. And let's be honest, even our own nature fights against that faith. He says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Sure to who? Sure to me. Sure to me. To remind me. To help me to remember what I've been told. Sometimes we hear it and it doesn't really work for us. How about, I love this, the servant of Elisha, right? The army is surrounding them there. And Elisha tells him, there are more with us than there are against us. And you know what? I don't believe that he believed the prophet. Because right after that, the prophet did what? He prayed that the Lord might open his eyes. He had to believe it himself to get the benefit out of it. Does that make sense? He says, make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. I'm going to go one more place and then we are going to stop. 2 Timothy. Let me find exactly where I want. I may have went to the... I always get the wrong Timothy sometimes. Let's see if I'm in the wrong place. No, there it is. I'm right. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Wrong chapter. I want to start in verse 11. In verse 11. He says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Look at verse 13. If we believe not. We've covered some of those things, right? If we believe not, we don't get to go on our way rejoicing. But then notice what the next phrase. If we believe not, he abideth faithful.
Amen.
Even when I miss it, he doesn't.
Amen.
He abideth faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. For God to leave one behind is to deny himself.
Amen.
It is to deny the perfect nature of his work. Why are we so adamant about the blood being sprinkled? Because it is the particular nature of that.
Amen.
He abideth faithful. Drop down a little bit further and we're going to close it in verse, starting in verse 17. He says, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. That's exactly what Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He was showing that some were saying that the resurrection is past, and he says you need to remember so that you can be saved from this error. This is the same thing. Now, I don't know if they're from Corinth or not. I don't have their addresses. I didn't get a little card. But it's the same thing. Notice what he says here. They are teaching that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Some of them forgot. Some of them forgot. Some of them fell. Some of them would be, as Paul says, I believe, of all men most miserable. But then I love verse 19. Nevertheless. You know what nevertheless is? Nevertheless is a big but. It is a conjunction of opposite. It is turning things around in the other direction. Verse 18 is sad. Verse 19 is glorious.
Amen.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. You remember Peter said you have to make your calling and election sure? This tells me right here, I don't have to make it sure to God.
Amen.
The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Even when I lose sight of you, you never lose sight of me. I appreciate your good attention this afternoon.